Welcome to Crossroads. Thank you for joining us for worship today. If you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home with us. We'd love a chance to connect with you, so please fill out that information card in the seat back and drop it in the offering later in our service. Well, Crossroads family, we're 1 week away from the kickoff of our 30-week series, Believe. If you haven't purchased your books and shirts yet, come see us in the foyer following the service. On your way into the lobby today, you probably saw our new specialty coffee bar from Restoration Roasters. We are so excited to partner with Restoration Roasters, partly because we know good coffee is an essential when trying to be more like Christ each day. But the real reason we're excited about this is because each cup of coffee furthers our vision to support the hurting. Restoration Roasters is specialty coffee with a cause because each cup of coffee is prepared by a student from the Rescue Mission. Once homeless, these students are getting an opportunity to learn vocational and life skills. The coffee cart will be out front before each service every weekend and will eventually become a full coffee shop later in October, right here on our campus. We're praying Restoration Roasters will be a place for the whole community to enjoy a cup of coffee every day of the week while also witnessing transformation in the lives of those serving it. It's fitting that we talk about Restoration Roasters today, considering it's Global Outreach Weekend. Today, you'll hear about the great work being done through our GO ministries, and you'll get an opportunity to become part of it. Crossroads, please help me welcome our senior pastor, Chuck Boer.
All right. And welcome, welcome, welcome. And I want to say a big shout out to Natalie. Are you ready for this? Who's watching in Sweden right now. Natalie, it's awesome to have you on. That is so awesome. By the way, we have a vision, and you're going to hear a lot about our vision, a 10-year vision, where we will be a church that truly is passionately committed to Christ, His cause, and His community. How is that going to happen? Well, part of that vision is that we would be a praying church of 24/7 disciples who reflect the heart of Christ. And one way we reflect the heart of Christ is by supporting the hurting. Restoration Roasters is a big part of that. We're partnering with them so people who used to have a life of no hope now have a life of hope. Every time you buy a cup of coffee, it directly goes to making the difference in someone's life, not only the one serving it, but it ripples back all the way in so people can escape the cycle of homelessness. And you and I get to be a part of that. Don't you love that we get to be a part of doing that and seeing that happen? By the way, it's us right now, and Crumbles Cookies is in helping too. And so it's just going to get going more and more and more. So know that that's a big part of what we're doing. And we're going to talk more about how we can make a difference like that. Next week, I'm going to give you a very short presentation on our next year's budget so you can know how we're going to fulfill the idea that we're 24/7 disciples who are praying, who are reflecting the heart of Christ, supporting the hurting, raising up servant leaders, and also empowering the next generation. So I'll share that with you next week. I have really good news, but I have a little bit of bad news. Next week, we launch Believe. That's awesome. I am so excited. The bad news is we're out of books. Thousands and thousands of you bought books. Praise God for that. If you didn't get a book yet, we will have more here next week. But I want you to get a copy. Still come. If you have a copy, read ahead of time the first chapter. We're going to be, again, a 30-week time of study, intensive study on the 30 most important truths of Christianity. And I want you to know them. I want you to know what we believe, why we believe, and where you can find it. God wants you to know that. And we want your faith to be solid and deep and amazing. And so make sure you're here. If you don't have a book, it's not too, you know, when you get here, you'll still be able to catch up. But we want you to be a part of that. So let's make sure and come. Bring friends. It will be really, really fun. Let's pray. Father, I really believe we're about to have a fun time in the coming weeks digging into your word and having your word go deep inside of us and for us to have our belief to be solid, and we're going to stand on a solid rock, a solid foundation. But I know that a big part of all of this is that we would hear from you. We would know, Lord, your presence and your power and provision and protection and your voice that instructs and guides. And may we understand more and more how to tune in, how to be a receiver of this great relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are talking about the idea that we would be 24/7 disciples. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The whole idea of 24/7 and the Asah Shema, which Asah means to do it with all your might. It's a Hebrew word. You give it everything you've got, and then you'll Shema, you'll understand, which is another Hebrew word. All of that comes true for you and me as we have this ever-increasing, ever-growing faith. But what I don't want you to miss is this. This is where we're going right now. All of what we're talking about is about you having such a real, such a viable and valid relationship with God that you hear him. You read in the Bible that Daniel heard from God. You read in the Bible that Abraham heard God's voice and obeyed his instruction. You read that Zechariah, if you're with us right now in Zechariah, God spoke and he knew it. I want you to know it's for you. Too often there's a big disconnect. We open the Bible and read about it then, but we're not experiencing it right now. And that's not what God wants for you. God wants for you to experience him, to hear his voice, to know his guidance. The question is, are you tuned in? Are you a good receiver? Not that God isn't there, but are you receiving like you should? Years ago when we got ready to start 24/7 and we're re-upping right now, what happened was I happened to walk into Best Buy. Usually when I have time to kill, I just like to go to Best Buy. Anybody else that way? Yeah, you kind of look at all the things you'll never own. And so what happens is I'm in there and I walk by a table that's the open box section, and there it sits, a Marantz receiver. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. Marantz is like one of the best, isn't it? And so I'm looking at it. It's about a third of the price because whoever bought it brought it back, no instructions. Some of the cords are missing. And I'm going, oh, my, this is an incredible deal. And the guy goes, yeah, that's a great deal. I said, I think I'm going to buy it. He goes, what kind of a sound system do you have now? And I said, well, my AV system is a kind of an inexpensive Yamaha. And he goes, well, you could buy that receiver, but what you really need are new speakers. And now he's trying to upsell me. And I'm like, I don't have the money, but I could buy that. And he goes, well, I don't know what difference it would make. So I buy it and I bring it home and I hook it up to my old speakers and my TV and my U-verse, satellite thing. And all of a sudden I turn it on and I'm like, oh, and I'm like ready to scream. It sounds amazing. It looks amazing. It's not even close to the same. He didn't tell me the truth. Pam comes home and she's like, what is that? I mean, she is like, she could hear sounds we could never hear before. We could sit on the couch and the bass is rumbling. I mean, it's like the best, you know? It's all because we had a better receiver. Are you ready? When you are a better receiver, you're going to hear God. When you're a better receiver, you're going to tune into God. It is going to be real. You're going to find him guiding you and showing you things. You're going to find Jeremiah 33:3 being true for you, where God said, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know. Or the verse could actually be correctly translated. I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. This is for you. And if you have your Bibles and looking at your notes, you know 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. I love those verses. Listen to what it says in verse 9. Paul says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of a man. That's your imagination. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, you ready? All of you who love the Lord, did you know what? God is preparing wonderful things for you. Amazing things for you, not just in heaven, although in heaven, but now, in the here and now, in your life today, and what's going to happen in with you and for you as God moves in an incredible way. But look at what it says in verse 10. In verse 10, it says this. It says, for to us, God has revealed them all the wonderful things he's prepared for you through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, think about this. The promise is, and it's real, that God has prepared amazing things for you, you individually, and you find out what those are through the Holy Spirit moving in your life. The Holy Spirit prompting you, guiding you, directing you, showing you. And it's to be very intimate between you and the Father. Now, that is what the Bible teaches. That's what God is showing you. That's what God wants for you. So here's the thing. How do you and I actually hear from God? How do we now have those things revealed to us? And there are four things we're going to look at today that will help you be a better receiver. Number one, you must, and write this in your notes, you must know that God speaks. You must know that God speaks. See, a lot of times I think people aren't aware that he does, but he does. In Job 33, verse 14, it says, indeed. By the way, if you have a paper Bible, underline it. If you have an electronic Bible, highlight it. Indeed. It's a fact. It is certain. It is true. Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. You know what that says? God is speaking, but are you listening? God is saying things to you. He's giving you information. He's trying to communicate with you. Are you listening? Am I listening? Later on in Job 33:3, it'll say God speaks in a variety of ways. He does it in dreams. He does it in pain. He does it through other people at times. Someone might walk up and be sharing with you, and you have no idea. God's putting in their mouths a message from him to you. Most clearly, God speaks in his word. But God also, what did Paul say? He shows you and tells you things through the Holy Spirit. God is speaking. Are we listening? Jesus tells us that. In John chapter 10, it's the story of the good shepherd. And in the Middle Eastern setting, a shepherd would know their sheep by name. They would call them and the sheep would come. When I was at Corona High, there was a girl who was in 4-H and she had a sheep. And she actually would bring it out and let it play. And then she would call it and it would run to her and cuddle with her. It was so cute until she turned it into lamb chops. No, not really. Okay, she didn't do it. But anyway, she actually would call that sheep and it would run to her. Do you realize Jesus wants to be that way with you. Listen to what he says in verse 3 to the shepherd. The doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Did you see what this says? It says, number one, Jesus knows you by name, calls you by name, and you should know his voice, and then he's going to lead you. Jesus is going to lead you. How does he lead you? By giving you a message, his voice. And you and I need to know his voice. Look down at verse 16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Now, what is he talking about here? See, he was talking to all of them back then, and he said, you're my sheep. And he said, guess what? There's coming more sheep. You and I are the other sheep. This is about us. What he's about to say is we're the other ones that would be brought to him, that would be a part of this relationship. And so he says in verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And now here's the thing. Here's what's supposed to happen. They will hear my voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. You're supposed to hear his voice. You're supposed to know he knows you by name, and he's going to call out to you, and he's going to lead and guide you. Down in verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Three times, what did Jesus say? You'll know his voice, you'll know his voice, you'll know his voice. See, God is speaking. Once, twice, God speaks. God's telling you things. He wants you to grab it. He wants you to know it. And it's supposed to be, you're ready for this, it's supposed to be very intimate. Just as a shepherd would know his sheep by name, God wants to have you know. He knows you by name. He cares about you. He prepares things for you. In Psalm 25, verse 12, it says this, who is the man who fears the Lord? He, God, will instruct him in the way he should choose. Did you know that whenever you have a choice to make, God says, I'll instruct you? Lord, should I take that job? The Lord said, I'll show you. Lord, should I buy that house? The Lord said, I'll show you. Should I go to this place? The Lord said, I'll show you. He said, he'll guide you. He will instruct you in the way you should choose. That's what this whole walk with God is supposed to be about. Verse 13, it says, his soul will abide in prosperity. His descendants will inherit the land. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he will make them know his covenant. The secret of the Lord. One time I was with a gathering of Christian leaders, And there was a man who was in our group who I have to tell you, for years, I just looked up to the sky. He's just an amazing, on fire Christian, incredible Bible knowledge, a true leader. I mean, a guy who I look up to and think, man, if, Lord, I want to learn from him. And so I've interacted with him a little bit, but we're in this session. And then when it gets over, I don't come back to the room. And Pam's wondering where I'm at. But what she didn't know is the session got over and we're all getting up to leave. And this man looks at me and he said, hey, Chuck, can we talk for a second? And I'm like, yeah. So we go grab a cup of coffee. I'm sitting with this guy I admire. And he says these words, get ready. He says, I'm about to tell you something I have not told anyone else. This is between us. Now you know what he's saying? I'm about to tell you a secret no one else knows but you and I. And then he tells me. It's a big decision coming in his life. He wanted my counsel and advice, but as much as I was honored by that, there's something that got me more. It was the value he showed me by telling me this secret. I had permission to tell Pam when I got back to the room, and she said, where were you? I said, you're not going to believe who I was with, and I named his name, and she said, no way. I said, it's even better. He asked to meet with me. She goes, ah, and then I said, he told me a secret. She goes, what is it? I said, I can't tell it. No, I can. And I told her. And we sat there in awe. You know why? The fact he would tell me a secret told me he values me and he trusts me. And he believes we have a relationship that can handle that kind of intimacy. Are you ready for this? God tells you secrets. Not only is God speaking, God says, I want to tell you secrets. I have something between you and I. There's times God's going, are you ready? Hey, and all of a sudden you and I are going, squirrel, you know, and God's going, no, come back here. Isn't that true? Yeah, you're going, oh, new car. And the Lord goes, no. And God's trying to tell you something. And you and I, he says, here's why. He loves you that much. He cares about you that much. Proverbs chapter 3:32 says, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. His secret counsel is with the upright. By the way, in the New American Standard, it says, but he is intimate with the upright. That word intimate or secret counsel is the Hebrew word sod, S-O-D. And it actually means a company of persons in close deliberation. By implication, intimacy, consultation, a secret or secret counsel. It has the very clear meaning that it's something God will only tell you. He says, it's kept between you. And God says, that's what I want to do. It's intimacy. It's a secret. It's everything I want. So here's the thing. If you're going to hear from God, it starts with knowing he's speaking and then trying to listen. Number two, if you're going to listen, ready? You must do number two, obey. It's one word. Just write it down, obey. You need to choose in your heart and mind, you're going to obey everything he tells you. When you open the Bible, you're going to do what it says. When God prompts you, now get ready. So when he does speak, you've got to be willing to obey. When he tells you and moves in you, you've got to be willing to do that. By the way, that's why we have this tool here. It's the L-I-F-E. It's four principles, and I hope you'll use this tool, that if you enact these in your life, you're going to end up enacting all of Scripture in your life. Because if you look at the Bible, you go, okay, that's huge. How do I start living this? Well, all of it will come back eventually to one of these four things. That L, that you'll love, you'll really love the way God wants you to love. You'll love him and love others. The I, intentional intimacy, that you'll choose every single day. We're asking you to get one of these and commit to every single day spending time with him, continuing in his word. That's what God calls you to do. The F is that you'd be fully surrendered. Your time, your talent, your treasure. And there's even an exercise to do there to make sure you're going to be truly faithful to God. And then the E is to choose to experience more. That what you would do is you would actually say, God, I'll go outside my comfort zone. And I'm going to hear from you. By the way, when you do that, you'll be trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not in your own understanding. And all our ministries out there, our global outreach, one reason we're doing this today is we want you to walk out there and pray this dangerous prayer. Say, God, this year, at least once, I made a promise. Which one of these ministries should I be a part of? Should it be VOR or food pantry or the prison ministry or Inspire? Should it be Adopt-A-Block? Should I go overseas to the Philippines or Nepal or Kenya? Or you know, what would you have me do, Lord? The Holy Land? And you look and you just say, God, show me. And by the way, don't do this. Don't go, but I can't afford it. If God prompts you, that means God's going to guide. So God will what? Provide. Amen. It's about walking by faith and not by sight. But get ready for what will happen. And you and I need to know. But we've got to be committed to obeying. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14, 21. He says this. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. The word disclose is a Greek word, emphanizo. And that's where we get the English word to emphasize. God is saying this, that Jesus is saying this. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And then you know what I'm going to do? If you'll do that, I'm going to emphasize my presence in your life. I'm going to make my voice clearer. I'm going to make my guidance more obtainable by you. I'm going to do that with you and for you. So here's the thing. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. We got to obey. You got to obey. Whatever the Bible tells you to do, do. Whatever the prompting comes, step out and do it. Notice what it goes on to say. Judas, in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And, now catch this, we will come to him and make our abode with him. We're going to come live with you. We're going to come dwell and share life with you. That's what he says, verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. The one who does not love God, we can spot it because they won't obey God. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus is saying something. In obeying, there's a purity with that, a purity of devotion. And Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You'll see the presence of God moving in your life. You'll hear his voice giving you instruction and sharing secrets with you and showing you all he's prepared for you. He wants to do it with you. We, last week and in the coming weeks, are going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3 quite a bit. It's the prayer of Paul. Remember, we saw last week that Paul said, I'm praying a prayer for you. I'm praying that you would know the height of God's love, the depth of God's love, the width of God's love, and the length of God's love, which passes understanding. In other words, you and I cannot understand it, but we can experience it. But in that same prayer, he's praying this for Christians. Now think about all of us who are believers. Here's what Paul says in verse 17. He said, I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, if you're a believer, you already know this. You know that when you become a Christian, you get the Holy Spirit. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit actually are one and the same. So Jesus comes in your heart. Christ comes in your heart. So here's the thing. If that's true for every Christian, then why is Paul praying, I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith? Well, why is he saying that? Why is he praying that? You see, if I walked up to you and said, hey, you know what? I want you to know, I just started praying something for you, that Jesus would be in your heart. And you're like, but I am a Christian. Why would you pray that? Well, here's what he was doing. He says that Christ may dwell. And that Greek word dwell actually means to be at home in. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me and obey my commandments, the Father and I will come and we will dwell with you. And it means we'll be at home with you. Pam and I one time let someone come live with us. And about a month of them living with us, we felt like our home was not our home. You ever have that happen? Anybody here? Let's name the people. No, I'm kidding. I was bad. I even said to Pam, like, we'd walk in the door going, let's leave. It's our house. It's our house, and we're not at home in our own house. Because of how that what was going on. And I don't want to tell you, Jesus owns you. You're his house. The question is he at home in you? And if you obey him, he's at home in you. And if you obey him, you'll hear from him. If you obey him, you'll experience him. And he wants you to do that. He wants that to be what happens in your life. So you and I have to say, whenever we open the Bible, I'm going to obey. Or, you ready for this? When he prompts you. I know there are some of you who love to travel. I mean, you love it. You're always planning trips and wanting to go somewhere. I am not that way. I don't like to travel. My wife, Pam, loves to travel. She walked in the door and said, I'm going to Cambodia. And I said, praise God, bye. And, you know, she went. And she's like, you want to go too? Nope, don't want to go at all. So it was a little surprising. I was doing my intentional time with the Lord, and I started hearing a voice that said, go to Kenya. And I'm like, Lord, I love Kenya, but I like to love it from here. I don't want to go there. And it came again. A few days later, it came again. And now it's getting heavy. It's not even a whisper. We'll get to the whisper, but God is saying, go to Kenya. And I finally said, all right, Lord, I'm in. I'll go. And so I emailed Lisa Mitchison, and I said, Lisa, you've been wanting me to go to Kenya. God's been telling me to go. I'm going to go. I didn't know when I emailed her that she actually wasn't in the area. She was back east meeting with Mary and Wallace Kamau, who had the Kenya ministry. They're from Kenya, and they lead out in that beautiful ministry there. And so Lisa walks into Mary and says, Mary, guess what? Pastor Chuck just emailed me to say he'll go to Kenya. And Lisa told me she started crying. Now, I don't mean just little tears. She burst into tears, crying and crying. I have been fasting and praying that Pastor Chuck could come and be with us. This is an answer to my prayer. And now I'm knowing every time she's fasting and praying, God's telling me, go to Kenya, go to Kenya, go to Kenya. Well, Mary being Mary, even though I said I would go, that's not good enough. She fasts and prays till I get there. She doesn't want me to, you know, get out of it in any way. And so then it happened. We go. And we get off the plane, and we've gone through customs, and I'm standing in the midst of all these sea of people, and I look out, and I see Mary. And I see Wallace, and she screamed, Pastor Chuck, and she starts to cry. And I walk over, and she throws her arms around me and is crying and crying. She said, I fasted and prayed you'd be here. And I know in that moment, I could sense God saying, see, see, this is why you obey. I prepared this for you. Then we go to this wonderful place of ministry. She got up and told everybody, this is the man I've been fasting and praying would come. See, God answers prayer, and they're all cheering. And I'm thinking, who am I? But God, you prepared this for me. Now, here's the thing. When God prompts you, you got to go. When God prompts you, you got to obey. It could be go talk to your neighbor. You're like, no, nobody in our neighborhood talks. And God's going, go talk to him. You know, when God prompts, you got to do it. And when you open scripture, you got to obey. So number one, you need to know he speaks. Number two, you need to obey. Number three, this is huge. You got to be in the word. You got to be in the word. And you got to be in the word every single day. If it's God's word and you love God, you're going to want to be in it. And I'm just going to get it out there. If you're only going to be in the word one or two days a week, then I want you to know, don't expect to hear from God. You might, whoa, let's just get it out there. If you're just going to be one or two days a week or once a month, you're not going to have God's voice because you really don't want it. But you need to be in the word every single day, intentionally intimate with him, spending time with him, sharing with him. Listen to what Bill Hybels said about that. He wrote a book called The Power of the Whisper. And he said this, the most predictable way to hear from heaven, the most predictable way to hear from heaven is to read and apply God's word. When you increase your biblical engagement, you increase the odds you'll hear from God. He said, that's as complicated as it gets. And so you need to do that. Now, see, here's the thing. God wants to speak to you, but you got to love the inspired word. By the way, when God speaks to you, it's not that you're going to get a whole new book of the Bible. You know, it's not like all of a sudden God says, yes, I have Peter, and I have 1 John and 2 John, and now I'm going to have the book of Chuck. No, there's not going to be a book of Chuck. They're not going to ever walk in and say, turn to 2 Chuck 2:3. We're never going to do that, you know? And by the way, if I ever tried to do that, God would ground me, which would make me ground Chuck. My whole team said, do not tell that joke. I only obey God. They can, you know, anyway. Some of you are going, what joke? You know, and here's the thing. It's not about getting a new revelation, but it is about getting the right application. See, that's what happens. So you got to get in God's word so you can tune into God and so you can get the right application for your life. And here's what it says in 1 John 2:27. But you have received the Holy Spirit You have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. This is for all believers. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he is teaching you is true, and it is not a lie. So just as he had taught you, remain in fellowship in Christ. See, when you meet with God on a one-on-one basis and you say, here's your word, Lord, teach me. He's going to teach you. He's going to teach you. Now, we do need actual teaching like this, but it's not for the purpose of taking authority in your life. When you're with the Lord opening up the word, that's when the Holy Spirit helps you have the right authority in your life. And God wants to do that with you. So you got to choose to obey. You got to choose to obey. So whatever the Bible tells you to do, you do. And you got to be in the word to know what that is. And so that's number three. Number four, you need to know his voice. You need to know his voice. It was just today that someone stopped me and they said, you know, I thought that Pam was out of town, but I walked into the building and I could hear her voice. In the midst of thousands of people, my wife laughs loud enough, people know she's here. And it's true. They knew her voice. Why? Because they know her. Do you know God's voice? When that prompting comes in your mind, that thought comes, that movement in your spirit, do you know it's him? Now, in the early stages, you're not going to always know it's him. But as you get to be a better receiver, you're going to hit a place where you're just going to know it's the Lord. You're just going to know it's him. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah knew the voice of God, but it was very interesting how it was revealed. Elijah just had the moment of greatest victory where he took on the prophets of Baal and won. And then Jezebel, the evil queen, sends word to him that says, surely, surely, I'm going to kill you now. And he goes from the moment of victory, the height of heights, to the depths of depression. He becomes very, very, very truly depressed. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings 19, verse 3. It says, and he, Elijah, was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. By the way, bad move. When you're depressed, you don't go off alone, and he's going off alone. And it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's. Take my life. I just want to die. I don't want to go on anymore. I can't. I would rather die than live. By the way, if you struggle with depression or despair, I want you to know God loves you and cares about you, and it doesn't mean you don't love God. Elijah got depressed. Paul got depressed. I mean, it happens. Life can get that heavy. But see, in the midst of this, God wants to help him and speak to him. Why? Because God's prepared something for him. So what does God do? God has him sleep and rejuvenate himself. Then God has him eat and get good nourishment. Then God has him sleep a little bit more. So now he's got his vitality back. And then God has him eat some more because he wants him to eat nutritious food so his life can become more balanced. And then God has him go on a journey. He tells him, Elijah, I need you to go to Mount Sinai where I gave Moses the tablets, where I talked with Moses. And from where Elijah was to Mount Sinai is about a 12 to 14 day walk. But God says, I want to take you on a particular trek. And he takes him on a 40 day walk, a 40 day journey through the wilderness that the children of Israel had gone through for 40 years so that God could remind Elijah and teach Elijah what Elijah knew was already in the Word of God, that God in those 40 years provided for the people, protected the people, taught the people, and revealed his presence to the people. And now he's on Mount Sinai in that culminating moment where God's ready to speak to him. And it says this in chapter 19, verse 11. So God said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. Not a hurricane. not a tornado, the sound of a gentle blowing. The word gentle blowing there is a Hebrew word, qual, and it means a whisper or a voice. I'm not sure why completely the New American went with that. The New Living Translation says the sound of a gentle whisper. The New King James Version says the sound of a gentle whisper. And yet, this word qual has the idea of just whispering almost a breath. You have to listen. You have to tune in. You have to open up. You got to still yourself in that moment to hear it. And Elijah hears. In verse 13, it says, when Elijah heard, or he shamad, the word heard there is the word shema, he understood completely. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice, it's the same word for gentle whisper, a qual, came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah knew his voice. See, God speaks in his word. God may speak in a dream or a vision through other people, but God speaks in a whisper. That voice in your mind, that whisper in your spirit, that movement. There's times you've sat and you've felt him. See, God speaking, are you able to receive? There's time that prompting comes, that voice comes, and you're like, Lord, is that you? And it is. He does talk to you. He does share with you. He will instruct you in the way you should choose. He will tell you the way to go. He will show you things he's prepared for you. I don't know how you are with your wives, guys, but I can just tell you how I am with mine. Pam, whenever I go to Pam and I say, hey, we're going to go out to dinner tonight. Where do you want to go? Do you know what her response always is? You choose. That's what she always says. You choose. And I'm like, okay. Well, what I typically do, and she actually does too, is we typically pray, even though she says you choose. We typically say, Lord, where would you want us to go? And it was one of those nights that I knew we were going to go out, and I'm driving home, and I knew if I asked her, she'd say you choose. And I prayed, and I said, hey, Lord, tonight, Pam and I are going out. Where should we go? And I really felt, I sensed a movement in my spirit, go to islands. Now, that was a kind of an interesting one because I need to tell you, I love islands and Pam doesn't. She doesn't like islands. But I thought, Lord, okay, we'll go to islands and Pam can learn to submit. And yeah. And I'm in that moment and I get home and I said, hey, I'm not even gonna ask you. But as I was driving, I asked the Lord where we should go to dinner and I got islands. She said, then let's go. So we get in the car and we drive over and we get our table and we're sitting there. And just talking, and all of a sudden, the swinging doors open. There's a guy with the tray of food, and he takes a look right at me, and I'm not kidding. He screams and goes, ah, and he drops the tray. And everyone spins around. The whole restaurant now is looking at him. He's looking at me still. And everyone's scattering, and he's working to get it cleaned up. And as soon as he does, he runs over to the table. And he said, Pastor Chuck, man, I'm having a tough time. And it got so bad that I went into the walk-in freezer and I got on my knees and I said, God, I can't take this. I can't take this. I need your help. And then he said, it just came into his mind. So he prayed these words. He said, Lord, please let me talk to Pastor Chuck. And he walked out and there I was in the restaurant my wife hates. And if you work at Highland Islands, it's not, but yeah. All I'm saying is that it's not just for me. It's for you. You open the Bible and God says, I will instruct you in the way you should go. I have prepared things for you beyond description and beyond imagination. I want you to live life like this. Why? Why? Now let's go back to it. Why does God want to tell you secrets? Because he loves you. He loves you and he wants to be able to trust you with those. And he wants you to obey. And here's the wonder of it all. He wants to be your Abba Father. The word Abba actually means daddy if you're brand new. He doesn't just want to be God the Father. He wants to be Abba Father. And the older I get, the more in love I am with the idea that he's my dad and I'm his son. Amen. And I'm his child. And so what I want to say is, if that's not the relationship you have with him, let me tell you something that I know is true. God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son to die upon the cross so that if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but you'd have everlasting life. He wants it for you. And in a moment, we're going to go to a time of prayer. And I'm going to actually do a little bit different than normal. I'm going to have a time of silence where we're just going to let God stir in some of your spirits, give you that prompting, do something that says today's your day. And if that happens to you, I'm going to ask you then, right where you're sitting, to pray a prayer where you tell him, I want to give my life to you. I want to come to know you. I want to be yours. And what's going to happen in that moment while you're praying is God's going to answer that prayer and say yes. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So it is for you. God wants this time with you. And for some of you, it'll be the very first time you've ever truly entered into a relationship with God that's real. But it starts by praying. And then if you pray that prayer and mean it, you have to obey. And what's the next obey? If you pray the prayer and mean it, you need to take a step of faith. And what we're going to do after we pray is I'm going to ask everyone to stand and sing. And I'm going to ask no one to slip out during this time so you don't distract. But all of you who pray the prayer and mean it, I'm going to ask you to make your way to an aisle or to the stairs. Come down here and let us greet you. Then head into this room we call our living room where we can have people share things with you to help you know how to grow closer to God. But something happens when you pray the prayer, and something goes deeper when you make the walk. When you say, God, I really want to give my life to you. And God says, okay, now step out and come walk for me and walk with me. You're going to connect to God in a deep way. And if you want, you could grab someone's hand and say, come with me. But this is about entering into a very real relationship with him, where you're born again, where you're his child, where you actually are going to know him. And if you've never done this before, I'm hoping that God stirs in your heart and today's the day for you. There are some of you who need to do it individually. Some need to do it as couples. Some as friends. It can happen in community like that. Today, there are some of you who are Christians. You need to recommit your life. You right now are not living that life where God is speaking and God's showing you things. And there's something missing. And it may be you're holding back. It may be you've gotten into something you shouldn't. It may be something's got a hold of you. And you're like, I know this isn't good, but God will set you free and God will bring you home. You just got to be ready to recommit to him. And so if you're not in a vibrant relationship with the Lord, but you are a Christian, then I'm going to ask you, pray that prayer. Make that walk again. Make today special. There's some of you who need to be baptized. The Bible teaches the baptism, by the way, is by immersion. That is because the word baptized means to be buried, means to be submerged. And here's the thing. In baptism, you're supposed to choose it. No one should choose it for you. You should choose it yourself. And you should say, I want to do this with you and for you. And Jesus said for all of us to go into all the world, make disciples and baptize them. And the only way someone gets baptized is if you've chosen to be his disciple. And if you've never said yes to that, that's a step of obedience you need to do. So I'm going to ask you to commit to do that today and to make the walk and come back here and say, I want to set a time to do it. So right now we're going to go to a time of prayer. And if you're right with God, would you start praying that God would prompt people in their spirit, bring thoughts to their mind, move upon them so they would say yes to him. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit to speak. To move, to stir inside people, that they would know is he calling you? Is there something happening? If so, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross to forgive me and to cleanse me from all my sin, to heal me from hurt and from pain, to free me from fear and from anything that would hold me back or hold me down. And say these words. Say, I know you want me to be yours. You want me to be alive, and you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Say those words. I say yes. Yes, I want you. And yes, I want the life you have for me. So I open my heart to you. Please fill me with your love and fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me yours completely. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen if you pray that prayer. Amen if you pray that prayer.